Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the newsroom to the nursery, we're juggling a demanding career on live TV with the demands of motherhood. I'm Katie.
And I'm Karen.
They are Anchor Moms.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of Anchor Moms, the podcast. Hope you're doing well and loving summer life, summer living. Hope you're living.
Hashtag, I texted you the other day. I was like, hot, what did I say? Hashtag, hot mom summer. That's what I said.
Was that it?
I think.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I was like, no.
I know. It would like kind of fell on deaf ears. You were like, whatever.
Well, I think it was with the crop top discussion. Was it that what it was?
Yeah, one of our friends had texted us like, hey guys, like, I see that you're talking about crop tops. And this is the truth, I meant this on this podcast, I was like, I think I lied and I might like crop tops.
You totally like crop tops. And I love that when we brought it up a few weeks ago, you were like, oh yeah, I'm not into it. And I was like,
well, I've changed my mind.
It is totally into
it. I've changed my mind. I'm into crop tops now, guys. I mean, not really. Like, when have you ever really seen me in a crop top?
No, but I think you would wear one.
I mean, is there, like, some sort of, like, a happy medium between a crop top and, like, a regular shirt?
Well, no, I think, like, you wear, would you sometimes, I don't know if you'd call it a crop top, but, like, you know, you'll sometimes wear higher shorts, right, with, like, a shorter shirt.
Okay. I don't know what that's called. That's, like, a mom top.
Yeah, a mom top. Mom topping it.
Okay, so I am just catching up with Karen. She's just back from vacation, and I had the crazy – well, I don't know. Maybe it's not that crazy. Once I tell you the story, you can tell me. It was with our former podcaster, Ingrid. We were at – we had taken the kids to the pool, and then we went to this popular kind of localish taco spot on Saturday.
Best tacos in Asheville, Gregory.
I like them too, and it's kind of – it's not a touristy spot, which in Asheville is kind of – like, that's a big win. But it is busy. It's busy on the weekends, just like
any place.
It's smaller. It's small. Yeah. So when we – and you can tell me, like, maybe some people will weigh in and be like, this would be like a Reddit question. So we got there, and every single table was taken except for one of those, like, communal high-top tables. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can think about the table.
But
if you're at home and you haven't been to this specific taco place, it probably seats, like, 12 people, and it's, like, high up. And, you know, it's, like, very obviously, like, couples can sit there or, you know, it's, like, meant for several different people.
Unless
you, like, unusually have 12 people in your group. Okay. So Ingrid and I, we order. We, like, are, like, standing there. We go outside, completely taken. It's like 6:30 on a Saturday night. Inside, like, not a table to be had. So there was one woman sitting with her laptop at this communal table. She's sitting in the middle of the table. And so Ingrid and I were like, okay, like, maybe we just sit here while we're waiting for our food. We had Ingrid's youngest, who is only one. So sitting at a high top is really tricky.
With a one-year-old, yeah.
Because, you know, you can't put a high chair up there. And also you can't really sit her in that seat because it's like if she were to fall, that's a very far – that's
drop.
A long way down. Right. So I kid you not, we, like, go up and we're like, hi, like, do you mind if we just, like, perch here for a second? And this woman was like, the reason I'm sitting here is because there was, like, no other spots as well. And we were like, okay. By the way, the bar behind her is open. It has, like, 4 or 5 seats at the bar. And we were like, all
what
right.
What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, like, okay, you know. So we kind of – she doesn't move down. She's sitting in the middle of the table. So we, like, squeeze in all of our – like, all of us. And there was – how many? 3, 4, 5, 6 of us? Is that right?
Yeah.
At, like, the end of this table with, like, this woman sitting, like, directly next to one of our children because she, like, wouldn't move. And I kid you not, Karen, she, like, sighed and looked so annoyed. And Ingrid and I are, like, kind of eyeing each other like
– what do we do?
Like – okay. Of course, like, our kids sit down. They have, like, juice boxes. There's, like, like, all this stuff. And I can tell that she's, like, starting to worry about her laptop. And Ingrid and I are, like, looking at each other like, well, I mean, you could just, A, you could just
scooch down.
But B, like, lady, this is, like, Saturday.
A restaurant
yeah. Saturday night at a taco place. This isn't, like, Monday morning at Starbucks. Like, did you really think
and
you
And also,
could...
it's a kid-friendly place,
right.
we should say. It's
right.
not
it's
like
a
restaurant
joint.
That would
no.
be weird that you would
this
bring kids
This is not,
to.
Like, fine dining. No, no. So it was just so strange. So, like, after a while, she, like, got up, like, huffed, took her laptop, and went and sat with somebody, like, outside, which this is the funny part, were people that I know.
Oh.
Okay? So I would love to know what the conversation is because, like, Ingrid and I are still sitting at this, like, high top, and I can see, like, them, like, looking back at us. So I would love to know if she went and sat at this table with these people and, like, started
them.
Complaining about us. And, like, these people are probably like, I mean, I know Katie and River. And, like, I can't imagine that there was anybody who could be on the side of this woman, right?
Yeah. That's really weird.
Right? And then I was kind of like, is she having a bad day? Like, is she, like, what is happening in this woman's world that she would think it would be okay to behave like that and to be, like, a jerk? Right?
We had a similar instance, not quite the same, but at the beach, and we, like, you know, our whole big crew of six people plops down our umbrella and stuff right behind a group, a lady who was doing the same thing, like the eye rolling and, like, the huffing, and I was like, oh gosh, she is, like, not happy
to
have kids around
beach.
Her, but I'm like, I'm sorry, like, what do you want me to do here?
Right.
Like, I don't know what to do. This is, like, an open beach, same thing, like, I mean, I guess you could, like, go down the beach and, like, find a more quiet area. But, yeah, that's weird.
Well,
and I also feel like usually people, especially in Asheville, if you don't know, is a very kid-friendly city.
Yeah.
Like, we have a lot of breweries that allow kids.
Right.
You know, it's very,
I don't know. It was, like, I had never encountered, and this is the truth, like, all of our kids were behaving. I mean, you know, sometimes you take your kid to the restaurant and they're, like, honestly being, like, jerks and you're like, oh, sorry. But, like, that was not the circumstance. Like, nobody was misbehaving. They were just, you know, they were just being kids. And I feel like if you pose this question on Reddit, people would be like, I don't have kids and I'm so tired of people who have kids, like, invading my space or whatever.
Right. What were we supposed to do?
Lady, you were at a huge table all by yourself, right?
Like, why not slide down?
Why not slide down?
Yeah.
And this is
or
the fun
go sit
part.
At the bar.
Or go sit with the people who you, like, went to sit with eventually
anyway.
Like, what was the circumstance?
So did she say anything when she left?
No. But I'll tell you, the whole time she was, like, like, that whole table was, like, glancing over at us. So I'm sure she had something to say to the people. But she didn't know that I knew them. Like, I had said hello to them when we, like, walked in, but I don't think she knew that.
We need to follow up. We need to talk
to
these people.
Text them and
then,
find out, hey, like, what did that lady say? But, I just want to clarify, too, is, like, even if she scooted down, there still would have been, like, two or three seats between our group and her if she had scooted down to the end of the table. So, like, really strange.
That
don't
is bizarre.
Don't be a jerk. If this is you, like, sorry, don't be a jerk.
Yeah.
Maybe she was having a bad day. I don't know.
You never know. Maybe she just doesn't like children.
Maybe. But then I would not go to a taco place at 6:30 at night on a Saturday in Asheville.
Yeah. Good point.
Okay. That's my, like, soapbox. Okay. So this next story is from today.com. I don't know. This made news headlines a couple of weeks ago. This was an Olympic track and field star. Her name was Tori Bowie. She was very far along in her pregnancy. I think nearly 9 months pregnant, 8 months pregnant. And the story goes is that she hadn't been seen a while, and they did a welfare check and found her, this is very tragic, dead in her home. And after doing an autopsy, they realized she died from pregnancy-related complications. It sounds like preeclampsia, which, you know, if you have spent any time around pregnant women or, you know, you've been pregnant, that's, like, something that a lot of people, it's very common, and a lot of people worry about it. It's a blood pressure condition. And basically, her teammates are now, her Olympic teammates are speaking out about, like, you know, how, like, women, more Black women are dying in this country in 2023 than in previous years, and just sort of calling attention to the fact that, like, how is it possible that in 2023 people are dying, like, pregnant women are dying, women are dying in childbirth?
Yeah, I can't remember which pregnancy this was, but one of the times that I was pregnant and about to give birth, There was a story. We did a story about the number of maternal deaths and how it's shocking how high it is. And I remember saying, really?
Especially for a developed country like the United States. Like, that's the other
happening?
Thing.
Yeah. How is this happening? And the article talks about how, especially for Black women, there's just not – there's a gap there,
yeah.
right? And unfortunately, it's something like 2.6% higher maternal deaths.
In 2021, the maternal mortality rate for Black women was 2.6 times the rate for white women. Yeah.
Which is shocking. And, you know, I think there's probably other groups of people who are affected by this as well, probably lower income people, people who don't have as much access to health care, you know, might be vulnerable to this also. But I think there is – it's shocking that this day and age there's not more widespread knowledge, education, health care, info. You know, the article talked about how a group of – women were talking about how they weren't even aware of preeclampsia or some of the
symptoms,
conditions.
Right. Symptoms of preeclampsia.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the Black women were like sitting around talking about it and then realized later that this is like a life-threatening condition.
And they all had had
and
it.
And they had all had, had it and like didn't really realize it. Right.
And how are doctors or healthcare professionals not telling
you
more
That's
about
one of the
what
things,
to expect?
Right. And I saw a couple of interviews with her teammate because the teammate that is speaking out in this article, Allison Felix. So if you're perhaps like a track and field, you follow the track and field stars. Or
I mean, I know that name. Yeah.
She is saying this was like a huge wake-up call for her. By the way, she, too, had pregnancy complications and delivered early. And so she is like, if this is happening to me and it's happening to Tori Bowie, who are these are not
elite
women
athletes.
These are healthy women, like women who have, you would think, access to information and healthcare. If this is happening to them, imagine what's happening to other women of color across the U.S. So I thought this was
really powerful.
It's so tragic to think about this poor woman in her house, pregnant like this and, you know, dying.
And Allison's point is that she wants to bring it up. She wants to talk about it because she hopes that Tori didn't die in vain.
Yeah.
And she wants to get the word out that this is going on. Raise awareness about it.
Yeah. Okay. So a good article there. And like I said, if you've been watching the news, there was all sorts of interviews on TV and lots of articles on it. Let's move on. Something light.
Yes.
I have a mom's for you.
Okay.
Mom's. This is, you know how we talk about contouring?
Yes.
about contouring?
We mean with makeup?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Ingrid tried to teach me how to do it one time.
Yeah.
It seemed like too much work for me.
It is a lot of work. Yeah. And I would say this, like, I would not want to contour my face every day. It's like kind of that Kardashian look that is just like, ugh, to me. Mm-hmm. But I do contour occasionally for work purposes. So there's a kit.
Okay.
It's by Smashbox, which is a makeup brand. It's interesting. I looked it up. I get mine on Amazon, and it's $31.60.
Okay.
Lasts me like 6 months, because again, I don't use it every day.
Right.
But if you buy it from Smashbox, it's $40. So right now I'm recommending, if you are going to buy this, do it on Amazon. So it's a step-by-step kit, and it gives you instructions. Like, do you have a round face, an oval face, a square face? Like, this is where you put, like, the light. This is where you put the dark. This is where you put the highlighter. And it's super easy. It's three different shades, and it comes in a medium dark or a light medium. This will not shock you. I use the medium dark. And I have just found it to be, it's all there. Like, a lot of people will contour, and they have, like, they use their lighter shade, and it's from this brand, and they use their highlighter from this brand, and they use – and this is just an all-in-one.
Okay.
Step-by-step. It's a guide, and I think it's super user-friendly. So if you're thinking about contouring, if it's something that you're not totally sure about, this is, like, kind of my go-to. And it gets really – I was like, do other people like this? Is this just me? But it gets really good reviews, both on Amazon and on the Smashbox site. So
contouring for beginners.
Yes. Does it have a name?
Contouring for dummies.
No, it's not contouring for dummies. It's the Smashbox kit. It's the step-by-step contour kit. That's what it's called.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Got it.
Check
I love it.
It. Okay.
So this next article is from the Washington Post. Is their young daughter too interested in being, quote, beautiful?
Mm.
I really enjoyed this. So this author is talking about her 4.5-year-old daughter, which Katie and I both have mm-hmm. a similarly aged mm-hmm. child, mm-hmm. daughter, mm-hmm. Who wants to wear jewelry, dresses, makeup, etc. Always talking about, I want to be beautiful. Am I pretty today, mommy? You know, really focused on being beautiful. And so the mom writes in and says, how do I get her to focus on inner beauty right. instead of outer beauty? And she's really worried. She's nervous that her daughter is focusing so much on being beautiful and pretty and all yeah. these superficial things. And the author says just a different response than what you would expect.
Yeah.
She says, well, first off, she says, well, what if she wanted to be Wonder Woman? You know, what if her whole imaginative world and everything she wanted to be was focused on Wonder Woman? Someone strong, you know, focused on helping people versus a princess.
Right.
Somebody, you know, beauty, being pretty. And her point of saying that was, let's not necessarily rush to shut this down and to say, no, no, it's not all about being beautiful. It's not all about being pretty. You know, this child, and I think this is just a good reminder for a lot of us of what our children are thinking and going through, is in an imaginative world.
Yeah.
She's playing this. She is pretending. She's thinking. She's trying things out. This might not necessarily be what she really believes.
Right.
She's just pretending. The quote was, a 4.5-year-old is an intense creature.
Yeah.
Full of contradictions.
I underline this one,
same
too.
Thing,
yeah.
Full of contradictions and growth spurts. Wants to be significant and do real work. You know, think about how many times your kid pretends to go to work because they see you go to work, right? So they're just testing things out, really. And so the author said, instead of just shutting this down and trying to convince her that this isn't important or not to do this, let's take a different approach and embrace it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, yeah, let's go on a beauty hunt today and try to find other beautiful things in the world, like nature, and let's go to an art museum and think about why this painting is beautiful or this painting is not beautiful.
Yeah.
And to just kind of try to think of ways to talk about beauty, but broaden it out to
right.
be more cultural and, you know, maybe go to the library and get books on different cultures or different,
right.
you know, different things, which I thought was a really neat idea.
I thought this was great because she basically says, like, hey, I know you're going to be to tell your daughter, like, beauty is from inner kindness.
Right,
and
right.
she was like, guess what? It will never work. And I was like, River is very much in this stage where she doesn't say, like, am I pretty? But she'll be like, I look so beautiful. Look at this dress. Look at this. Mm-hmm. Look at that. She wants to, like, if I'm curling her hair, she wants to, like, look in the mirror while mm-hmm. I'm doing it. She mm-hmm. has, like, very specific, and I don't always agree with this, I should say. She has very specific ideas of what she thinks is mm-hmm. beautiful. Like, her hair a certain way,
right.
a headband
more
a certain
bows.
Way. More bows. More
yes,
glitter.
Yes,
more whatever,
yes.
you know? And I just kind of, like, let it ride. I would lie if I said I wasn't a little bit, like, it does weird me out a little
yes,
bit. When you're, like,
yeah.
4.5-year-old is, like.
Well, I think especially, and she talks about this in the article, when you have a young daughter, you are
yeah.
extremely
on
high alert,
yeah.
alert about raising a child who's going to focus on outer beauty.
Right.
Right?
Right.
This is the culture we live in, social
yeah.
media. You don't want them to have an eating disorder,
right.
to be consumed with what people look like,
right.
you know, all of those things. So I think it's hard for moms of daughters, especially, to not worry about that.
Yeah.
But I think this author's point is a valid one
yeah.
of saying, you know, this is just a phase.
Yeah.
In a couple months, they might be obsessed with something completely different.
Right.
And let's just talk about beauty, but talk about it in a different way.
Yeah, and I like the fact that her, like, advice isn't about words. It's about, mm-hmm. like, let's do something practical and
mm-hmm.
real, like, real things to do. Not, like, sit mm-hmm. your daughter down and try to talk to her about, like, inner beauty.
Because,
like,
you're four. Gonna work.
Yeah, yeah, like, your 4 and 5-year-old is like, what? You know, but this
yeah.
is, like, real advice that you can actually go out and do today. So, yeah, I thought it was surprising, but good advice.
So, I have a really bizarre win.
Wait, we haven't gotten through the third article yet.
Oh, my gosh.
What is happening?
This is post-vacation brain. Sorry, folks.
Do you want to just do your win right now?
No,
oh, okay.
I want to talk about this next article.
Oh, I'll bet you do.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I glanced down at my notes and just totally skipped over.
You just want to get through this podcast. Just say
no,
it.
I really want to talk about this next article.
This one comes from CNBC, and it's raising successful kids, this common two-word phrase is the worst thing a parent can tell a child, says an education expert. I'm going to go further. Occasionally on this podcast, we talk about things that are that like apply in your real adult life as well.
Yes.
This is like spot on. Don't ever say this to anybody. And it what it is, the worst phrase is when your child is anxious or nervous, don't say calm down.
Mm-hmm.
But hi, adults don't like that either. Do you
right.
like that when you're like upset about something and somebody's like calm down? No.
No.
Don't say this to anybody in your life.
Especially your kids, though.
Right. And they talk about, for kids especially, calmness is best taught through demonstration. So, by the way, like, if you're anxious about something, and this happens in my life all the time, just, you know, like, it'll be, like, something first for River, and I'll be, like, a little bit anxious about it. And she, like,
can
totally
tell.
Senses
she can sense
that.
It, yeah.
Yeah. But when you tell a kid to calm down, it doesn't validate the child's emotions or help them understand their feelings, which, by the way, same thing with adults. Like, you're not validating how they feel. So they're recommending two exercises to help kids manage their heightened emotions. Controlled breathing, and you can even practice that together. And, again, it's Brené Brown, if you know her. She also has her own podcast.
So good.
Yeah. Anxiety is a very contagious emotion, so calm is also contagious. And then the second piece of advice, I actually thought this makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Reframe anxiety as excitement. So, in other words, like, instead of saying calm down, you can say, like, hey, I know you're really excited about this. But let's like take a couple of deep breaths, or let's remember X,
it's
Y, gonna
be okay.
Z.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I find that maybe less so for adult things that cause people anxiety, but like for a kid, that's kind of this exact stuff. It's like stuff that's also exciting is what makes River nervous, like starting kindergarten,
mm-hmm.
Having a dance recital, going to like a swim lesson for the first
mm-hmm.
time, start, you know, like those are the things that are also like exciting but also anxiety inducing. So it's not that big of a stretch to reframe it as
mm-hmm.
excitement.
Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, which this should come as no surprise, but is hilarious, not hilarious, maybe sad that I'm even having to bring this up, but especially for me, I feel like with so much going on, you can sometimes forget as a parent that whatever your kid is going through, that could be scary for them.
Yeah.
You know, like we just kind of assume that's not really scary, that's not a big deal, calm down, it's
yeah.
fine. But for them, they don't know that. They
yeah.
don't know that the outcomes cannot be that bad.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the worst thing that happens? It's fine, calm down.
Right.
You know, but like for them and their minds and their age and what they've been through, and I often even think about their perspective on life,
yeah.
you know, where they're seeing things, whether
yeah.
it's like getting into the pool or the ocean, you know,
yeah.
that can seem scary because they're shorter and they're smaller and
well,
they're looking up and yada yada. You know, it's just a good reminder that we can't expect them to just calm down.
Right.
These are big things, and even though we know it's going to be fine, they don't always know that. We need to help them work through it.
One time, a long time ago, somebody said to me that perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is very true,
especially
for kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, if this is how you perceive it, that is the reality of it. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
matter that, like, you're going to be safe at kindergarten and, like,
mm-hmm.
no harm will come your way. If you perceive this as being
a
scary situation,
it's
a scary situation. I think,
right.
I think that also applies to adults, too, because to say otherwise is to, like, invalidate somebody's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Good advice there. Okay, would you
yeah.
like to get to your win?
Win of the week.
Now, finally,
let's
my win.
Get to that win. Yeah.
This is a weird win, by the way. But so Henry has not lost a tooth. He just turned 7.
Really?
Has
is that
not
late?
Lost a tooth. It's late. Yes. Ella Ray was late losing teeth as well. When we were recently at the dentist, and he has a permanent tooth in.
What?
With
is
the
it
baby
like crowding
tooth.
Crowding it out? Crowding.
Yeah. It's in. It's behind, and the baby tooth is in front. You know. Still
hanging
rocking. Yeah. And the dentist was like, oh, yeah, we need to get that baby tooth out. Let's wiggle it every night. You know, get that puppy out or else we're going to have to pull it because permanent
impeding.
Tooth is
yeah.
ready. Yeah, it's in there. It's there. So we've been trying to wiggle it. Anyway, so we're at the beach. We're trying to remind him to wiggle it. And the whole week we're like, wouldn't that be fun if you lost a tooth at the beach, you know? And so he wakes up one morning and I go to make the bed and there is a blood stain on the pillow. And I'm like, oh, no. And so I come out and I'm like, Henry, did you lose a tooth, bud? And he feels with his finger. Yes.
Did he swallow it?
He lost a tooth while he was sleeping, which I'm not even sure how that happens.
I mean,
are you grinding? I don't even know.
Yeah.
He loses a tooth and then he's like, we need to find it. So we're like frantically searching the bed. And in the back of my head, I'm like, I bet he swallowed it, right? And it's a teeny, I mean, the tiniest little baby tooth you've ever seen in your life. So it was hilarious. This huge search mission for the tooth ensues. All the kids are like pulling the blankets and the pillows. And finally, Ella Ray looks down and goes, it's on my foot. And we're like, what? How is the tooth on your foot? I think she had like waved the blanket up and it fell out, landed on her foot. So we find this teeny, teeny, tiny tooth on her foot. Henry's so excited. We get the tooth. He's real pumped about it. The most bizarre thing. Anyway, we put it in a baggie. We put it under the pillow that night. And we're trying to explain to him, like, don't worry. The tooth fairy is still going to find us at the beach. Yeah. You know, the whole thing. And he puts it under there. We somehow remember to go in, switch it out, put the dollar in. We went with the dollar because we didn't have any coins.
Yeah, I was going to say this is like a hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we get it all done. And Gregory's like, shoot, we're on vacation. Where do we put the tooth? Because normally we have like a little box that we put it like hidden in our room that they would never find.
Wait, like, do you have to keep your children's teeth?
Well, we do. I don't know. We've kept – Ella Ray's only lost a couple. We've kept them thus far. But, again, I'm like in my head as we're going through this.
Are you
going to
keep
like,
four children's
teeth? Yeah, I'm like, why are we really keeping this thing? Like, this feels
Ryan
odd.
Ryan does have his teeth. His mother
does he?
Gave him a box of teeth.
Well,
and I was like, I think it's a disgusting.
Also, yes. What are you, why
like,
are we
do
keeping
you
them?
Do you want to see them? I'm like,
yes.
No.
Why are we keeping them? What are we going to do with them someday? I don't know. But back to the story. This is the crazy part of the story, even crazier than losing a tooth while you're sleeping. So we get the tooth. We put it in a Ziploc bag. And I'm like, okay, let's put it in this like random pocket in your suitcase that like no one ever uses. It's fine. So we have it in there. Everything's fine. We're getting ready to leave the hotel, like checking out. You know, it's pandemonium. I'm trying to pack everything up. The kids are going crazy. All of a sudden, Henry looks down and goes, oh, my tooth is in a baggie on the floor. And we're like, oh, what? And Gregory and I just look at each other. And I immediately look down and I'm like, Sam. Sam opened, found that pocket, unzipped it, and pulled out that baggie with that tooth in it.
Mm-hmm. So what did you tell Henry?
So it's like this moment of panic where we're all the kids are looking at us and we're like, he's like, how did
you
it get
like
there?
Music in the background like, doo, doo,
yeah, I'm like and I just go, oh my gosh, the tooth fairy must have dropped it.
And what Henry's
and Henry is- goes, oh, I bet she did. She was probably rushing around so much. And she's like in this different, like she's in this hotel room she's not familiar with. I'm like, yes. Like, we're on vacation.
Yeah.
She, like, is just glad she found you and got the tooth. And then she must have somehow dropped it. And somehow, all the children were like, okay. And Henry's biggest question was, well, what do we do with it now? How do we get it back to her?
So did you have to do this?
And
all
I'm like,
over again?
I don't know. And I'm like, okay, here's what we do. When you lose your next one, we're going to put both of them in there. And then she'll have the first tooth you lost and the second tooth.
So you better hold on to that tooth.
Yes.
Or you could just put one of Ella's in there. I guess he wouldn't know the difference.
Who knows? But anyway, it was the most hilarious, like, from losing a tooth on vacation, A, then losing it in the middle of the night and only discovering it because of a bloody pillow, and then finding it on Ella Ray's foot, and then still remembering the tooth fairy, and then finding it again on the floor of the hotel room in a baggie and having to explain
this
that the tooth fairy dropped it.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing was a lot. Well, but now we have the tooth back in our possession, in our true home.
Okay.
So I guess we're going to, like, put it under the pillow when he loses another one and do a double pickup of the of
and
both
then you have
teeth.
To $2.
I guess. But, I mean, that moment was like, Gregory and I just were looking at each other. I'm like, think quick. What do I say? And, I mean, part of me wanted to be like,
listen, kids.
Let's be real, guys.
Can we just be honest?
Like, we just put some money under your pillow every time. There's not really a tooth fairy. But, no, I was like, she must have dropped it. Yeah. And Gregory immediately picked up and was like, Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, she was probably so excited that, you know, you found it after you lost it in your sleep and it laid it on Ella Ray's foot. It was such an ordeal, but you found it and we got it. So, in case that happens to anyone else, just and like, your kids you apparently are as gullible as my children, just tell them the tooth fairy dropped it as she was flying away.
I love it.
And they will believe it.
That'll be great.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, the tooth fairy lives on in the O'Neill household.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
Phew.
All right. Thank you for joining us, guys. Remember to rate, review, subscribe, right?
Yes, that's it.
Okay.
Have a great one.
Bye, guys.
Thanks for listening.